Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We are joined on that Fan Hotline right now by our friend Jason Mackey of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, a columnist there for the Post-Gazette. But right now it's all Pirates because, well, it's Pirates season and they're in the thick of things here. So our Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. The Pirates at 34-37. Are they closer to being good or bad? Jason, good morning. Your thoughts on that? Are they closer to being a good baseball team? Oh my God, you've got a skein stash. Or a bad baseball team.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Goodness.
Wait a second. No.
I just looked up.
Yeah,
oh,
strike everything else that happened there. How? Why? Explain.
What do you mean how? Need me to explain shaving to you? Maybe I can explain talking. I don't know how good I am at that.
You can't do that. Why?
What?
You're a writer. You're a professional, Jason.
I can't have a mustache?
So
why
can't
I have a mustache?
This had nothing to do with Skeens.
No, of course it did. I had a goatee going, and Skeens is starting. I'm like, I might as well have a mustache for a day. What's the big deal?
So this is fresh. Like, you just carved this thing in your face today.
I did it last night. I actually came downstairs and my wife had the same exact reaction. She looks at me and goes, why? Why?
I don't know that I've ever seen you with a beard, let alone
me
a mustache.
Either.
I had like a little crappy goatee thing going and I got tired of that looking pathetic. So I decided to go with pathetic facial hair in another direction.
I'm trying to figure out who he looks like. He looks like somebody.
You look like a buddy cop.
This is scary.
Like,
yeah, I like that.
Super Troopers.
Yeah, you look like one of the guys from Super Troopers. That's exactly right. All right, Mackie. Well, now that we have made fun of you a little bit here, and not that I mean, I think his looks better than mine did.
100%.
Yeah, not even close.
Easy.
He's got a better jawline structure. Are the Pirates at 34-37 closer to being good or bad?
I'm going to go with closer to good, Adam, and I think that's a good poll question. And here's why I say that. They have the most important elements down. They have a pretty decent starting rotation. I like the way the bullpen looks right now. If you give me a top three in their bullpen right now, and I think Aroldis Chapman, thankfully, is kind of steadied. David Bednar, Colin Holderman, I like what Ortiz and Majinski have done. The rotation is good. Yes, they certainly have some cracks they need to fill in. They need to add at least a bat. I'd like to see them add a reliever. I wrote this morning, better fundamental play would be great. That should be within their control. So, I mean, I'm not saying they're an elite baseball team, but if you ask me better or closer to good versus bad, I'll go good.
You said better fundamental play, and we talked about Yasmani Grandal and them stealing home in the game the other day. How do you take that? Do you take that as like, oh, okay, like brush it off? Or is that a serious moment that needs to be talked about and how he just wasn't in tune with what he needed to do and gave up a run?
The latter. That can't happen. I don't brush that off whatsoever. I understand the game got out of hand, but you bring this guy in for $2.5 million. You expect veteran output. Now he's obviously struggling with the bat. When it's a catcher, veteran catcher, I can take that with a grain of salt. I can't accept poor defense. I can't accept lackluster effort. And I feel like that was a combination of those things. They need to figure out what they have at catcher. And it may or may not include Yasmani Grandal. I think Grandal has been good handling pitchers. But if I look at his defensive metrics right now, he's very much average. They brought Jason DeLay back. I liked what he did yesterday. I want to see more of what Jason DeLay has. The future at that position should obviously be Henry Davis, a 1-1 pick. But as far as Grandal, man, that has to be something that's talked about. That can't happen. He's not doing enough in other areas of his game to justify the playing time. And that just that drove me crazy because it was something that Pirates fans see a lot. And it's become a reputation for this team. It drives people crazy, them just making boneheaded mistakes at times where they can't.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, at what point does that stop? Or is this just who they are? Because you wrote about the fundamental play, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, Jason, because everyone's looking ahead to the deadline. Can they add? Can they add? Can they add? This is something that would be in their control, better fundamental play, and I have to think, and you didn't necessarily make it this way, but I have to think that that falls on the manager here.
Yeah, I mean, he's a part of it. He's a part of it. I think everybody wants to put too much blame on the manager, and I hesitate saying that because I'm not defending Derek Shelton. He's certainly a part of it. But sometimes it's on players to execute. You know, first and third play, yesterday they put on.
God.
Nick Gonzalez is not far enough down the line. Like, yeah, you could put that on the manager. There's also the player out there that needs to execute it better. The bunt that Michael A. Taylor put down, I think it was – Tuesday in St. Louis, one of the St. Louis games, a sacrifice bunt situation. It's just not a good bunt for what they need there. I mean, that Derek Shelton didn't put that bunt down. He went with Kyle Nicholas after the Paul Skeens debut. He walks a whole bunch. I don't know what his total got to, but like he's not walking in six guys. That's on the players. Now, Shelton's bullpen management at times could certainly be better. We can certainly pick through what pitchers he has available, how he deploys them, whatever. It's all of them. There's stuff that just, you know, a pop-up to, what was that, shallow center, Sawinski and Cruz don't talk. Cruz goes after a ball he shouldn't. It pops out of his glove. It's the center fielder's ball. Yes, there's some responsibility that falls on the manager. There's still players that have to execute basic baseball plays, and they struggle with that.
Jason, do you think the decision of not starting Skeens yesterday and starting him tonight against the Reds had more to do with selling tickets and being at home, or the importance of starting off with Skeens against the Reds because it's an important series for them to win?
Yeah, I mean, I maybe it was an input, Doran. I mean, it's certainly convenient to have him start at home. I would posit this, that the way they've handled these young starting pitchers, if there are, you know, 4 days between starts, if their pitch count in the previous start is high, they look for ways to space those guys out. So this would be that. And Skeens had a high pitch count in his last start. There's no off day. So, I mean, that tracks with other stuff they've done. Now, does it stink that, I say that ironically, but like, you know, they all of a sudden get to have two Skeens starts on the homestand and they get to use Skeens against the Reds? Like, it probably only furthered that discussion. But they do tend to do this stuff when you have a young guy, no break between starts and a high pitch count his previous one.
That's a good question, Dort. I mean, I think it's definitely one of the data points. Mm-hmm. And how could it not
be? Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I don't know that that was.
I mean, are they wrong for doing that too?
No, I don't.
You want to give your fans a look at Skeens? What's the? I don't see an issue there.
We were kind of back and forth. I think Crowley was a little upset that he didn't start against the Rockies yesterday, and I kind of look at it like the Pirates are like, look, we're gonna roll out our bullpen game because the Rockies honestly aren't that good, and we think that we could beat them. I don't know if that's their thought process, but I was okay with the start tonight and not yesterday.
Well, guys, another thing to think about, too, that I've been asked a lot, like, are they going to separate Jones and Skeens and maybe put, like, a soft-tossing lefty in there? This creates that. Maybe next time through, Martin Perez jumps in that spot. Or maybe Josh Fleming becomes an opener in that spot and it's a soft-tossing lefty-slash-bullpen game. I don't know which direction they go, but I don't have a problem with prying those two guys apart. And I just think something they need to be mindful of, and certainly are, is that there is going to be an innings limit for Skeens and Jones. So, like, the more times you can kind of spread it out just a little bit and sort of get that number looking better in the aggregate, I understand.
Hindsight being 2020, they won both the bullpen games and then weirdly and big time, they lose the middle game with Jared Jones on the mound. Do you feel like they got away with it, having two bullpen games in one series? Because that's the way I look at it. Like, I didn't love the process, but hey, it worked, so you can't criticize them too much.
Adam, they've gone three bullpen games since June 8th, and they've won them all.
Yeah,
oddly,
when their bullpen has been a huge issue this year.
Yeah, what was the first one? We were trying to figure that out.
Was
earlier.
It Twins?
June 8th against the Twins, 4-0 win.
Okay.
Yep, I looked it up yesterday. Because I mean, honestly, they deserve credit for that. The Pirates get ripped for a lot of things that they do poorly. they've handled bullpen games and finding matchups for guys pretty well. I don't like doing bullpen games three out of every eight games. I don't like them, you know, two out of the three in a series. But, you know, for right now, I get it. But they just need, you know, they need Martin Perez to get back and get healthy. They need Quinn Priester to get healthy and give them something. Like, you know, that's just it's tough. I don't think that is sustainable.
You talked to A.J. Burnett for a piece in the Post-Gazette. Does A.J. see himself in Jared Jones or Paul Skenes?
That was my first question for him, Adam. And honestly, that was the genesis of the story. Because I do. I told A.J. that. I said, I like that these guys pitch like you know what's on the mound. And they're not that way off the mound. It reminds me of you. And he kind of laughed and we got into that discussion. So, yes, he does. He likes the fire they pitch with. He likes the aggressive mentality, the kind of owning the plate. And it's a weird dynamic, right? Like I hesitate to say the word egotistical because they're the furthest things from egotistical, but you get on the mound and you have to be that way. You have to think that, you know, this is my plate. That was Burnett's line in the story, but you just get this edge to you. And I love the way AJ put it. He called it that fifth day mentality. You have to have that fifth day mentality. You can't have that every day of the week because your teammates will hate you and you'll come off as a jerk, but you're a total normal guy, great teammate the other 4 days. And then that fifth day is yours. And that's how Skenes operates. Like you'll see Skenes signing autographs and interacting with people when he doesn't start. When he does, if you're in the ballpark, watch him. He does not interact with anybody. He blocks out the world. That is his day. I've talked to Paul about this. And he doesn't sign autographs. He's not very social. He's just, that is his day to work. And I love that about him.
Jason, this was really good, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. And how long are you
I keeping appreciate that, the constructive criticism on the stat. If you have next week, it will not be here. If you guys have me on
after
again.
His no hitter tonight,
it won't be here tomorrow.
Well, look, man, he's gonna throw a no hitter tonight, and you're gonna talk to him after the game, and he's gonna make you keep that thing, and it's gonna be fifth day mentality every single damn day with you in that stash. If he goes out there and shoves,
2 years ago I rocked one all through spring, so I'm not afraid of it. But I this will not stay. This one.
Thank you, Jason.
I will be homeless. All right, I'll see you guys.
See you, buddy. That's Mackie on the fan hotline.
I am so mad at you.
What did I do?
You just think about what you just did in the last 30 seconds.
Oh, I said he's going to throw a no-hitter tonight?
Remember the last time you did that?
Didn't Mitch Keller get absolutely rocked and then suck for the rest of the year?
Yes.
Damn.
That's the first thing I thought about. As soon as you mouthed that.
It is getting annoying.
I was like, oh my goodness.
I'm not being serious.
Oh my goodness.
He's going to go seven.
You're going to curse him.
He's going to go seven no-hit innings tonight. But he's not going to throw a no-hitter because they're not going to let him go nine.
The logic isn't adding up.
What are you talking about?
You're not serious about it, so why even say it anyway?
Well, because he's not going to have he's not going to have an official no-hitter. Might be a combined no-hitter.
But he's going to throw seven no-hit innings, so that's still.
They'd be flirting with it.
Pretty much the same thing.
I can't believe you. See, I'm just so disappointed right now.
We love Mackie. Real quick. As someone who's as close to the team as he is, isn't it a bad look a little bit that he has the skein stash?
No, he's allowed to have a mustache.
I guess so. He doesn't have to admit that it's a skein stash.
Right.
Could be a Nick Gonzalez stash.
Correct.
Gonzalez's is better, too, than Skeens.
Yes.
It's a much cleaner stash.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a Burt Reynolds stash.
That's true.
It could be a Tom Selleck stash.
No, it can't. No one's can.
You're right.
That was Mackie on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Excuse me there. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. He did answer the question. Pirates closer to being good or bad. We'll talk about that next. We'll make fun of
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Stashes. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, and you can text us on the Egger Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We're going to talk about our poll question here in a moment with the Pirates and react to some of what the mustached Jason Mackey had to say. We were just talking about earnings in the PGA Tour, and that Neil Shipley, if he weren't an amateur, he would have brought home $168,000 for finishing in 26th place.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's due to make a lot of money. Oh, and we were just talking about the placement. Like, say, like, okay, what, there's 52 weeks in a year. Say you golf and somebody's going to text you and be like, hey, don't do that, but whatever. Say you, you know, enter into 40 events and you make the cut. I mean, say you're around 100K per event. You're a decent golfer. Yeah, it's a good $4 million on top of endorsements. Say you make the top 10, top 5, and say you win one.
Not bad.
Not bad. Austin Eckroat finished in 74th place and won basically $39,000.
Yeah.
Not a bad way to make a living.
No.
Plus, like you were talking about the endorsements, I think this kid's going to be an endorsement machine.
Yes.
Because he's unique. I don't know that he is like oozing charisma or anything like that, but I do think he is incredibly likable. Like, if he winds up being one of the next great stars of golf, I think he's going to be super popular because, I mean, he's not polarizing in the slightest.
Well, you kind of want him to be. Like, if you're the PGA, like, you want to push him as much as possible because that's kind of the conversation we had with McDavid, why I root for McDavid, because that is going to bring a different generation into golf. And I feel like golf is as high as it's ever been generational-wise. Like, the younger people, they golf a lot more than, like, we did growing up. Like, I knew people that golfed every once in a while. But I feel like a lot of 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds, like, they're golfing every weekend. And I think that had to do with COVID because that was the only thing that you really were able to do. And golf is as high as it's ever been. So you want a face for that generation to keep golf and be, you know, entertained and people watching golf. And I would be pushing him as much as possible if I were the PGA because that's just going to continue our brand.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I was at a grad party in Hampton on Saturday, and all of the friends, this was my wife's cousin who is, he's going to Penn State. I don't hold that. Yeah, it was whatever. But all of his friends, you know, high school seniors from Hampton, they all showed up wearing golf attire.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them was all golfed out, man. Like, that's what you're doing these days if you're a kid.
Yep.
I feel like I got caught in that tweener period and I'm so bad now. It's not even worth putting in the time. Anyway, Rory McIlroy for choking away first place still winds up making 2.3 million big ones. And you told me that his divorce, they're going back on it.
Yes.
Now he's undivorced.
Yeah, they called it off.
That's weird, man.
Yeah, so he had a lot of things going on.
That's tough. When not only are you going through these marital things, and as I understand it, a lot of it having to do with him, that gets out publicly. And then now it's news that you're not getting divorced. That's like when kids will put, I am staying at the University of Pittsburgh. Like, right. I am now announcing that I am not transferring. I am now announcing that we are not getting a divorce.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors and stuff of him and some other people that work in the industry. It's tough.
It is tough.
And he blows it.
You think he's thinking about that kind of thing when he's out there? Like, do you think they think about, hey, if I make this putt, I get an extra $2 million, or do you think it's all about just winning the U.S. Open?
I think it's in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Just kind of like if the leaderboard's in the back of your mind. Like, there's some guys that look at the leaderboard. There's some guys that don't, that just go play. But golf is so unique that you don't need to rely on – well, you need to rely on your caddy a little bit, but you don't need to rely on four other guys like a basketball team. You can't rely on 10 other guys as a football team to make your money.
Yeah.
So it's really on you. So however they do it, you got to play that game of it's you versus you. It's not you versus the field. It's you versus you. So I don't know if they think of that stuff that might motivate them. Like, Bryson was walking up to the last hole, and you don't see this from golfers. He was raising his hand like this for the fans to say, Bryson, Bryson. Like, I'd never see that from golfers. Usually they're just like, hey, quiet, let me just walk, let me be, like, directly focused on what I need to do. He was like, I want to hear the noise.
Oh, his reaction whenever he won was, I mean, just pure emotion. This is the... He looked like he was Goku powering up. Like all the veins popped out of his arms.
Another epic up and down at Pinehurst for a U.S. Open championship. Bryson DeChambeau now has two. The second at number two.
All right, we'll do the Pirates thing coming up in the next segment because now I'm fixated on the golf. How many fairways did he hit?
Four.
That's insane.
I think four.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he wins the thing mm-hmm. at Pinehurst, where early on, at least, and I was in and out, unfortunately, yesterday just because of Father's Day plans. I wanted to sit there and crack a couple cold ones and watch the whole tournament, but I was off and on. Luckily, I was able to watch down the stretch there, but you had guys hitting perfect shots that were like a foot from the cup, and they'd roll like 75 feet away. And here he goes up and down 55 yards to win the U.S. Open. He had some good lies despite... You know, not hitting the fairway, but to only hit four fairways and win is just, it's nothing short of unbelievable.
Well, the way that he hits, too, I mean, whether it's driver, and did you know that he had to change his driver, too? So he, like.
So did you.
Yeah, exactly. But I, you know,
you got Patty Bostick.
Right. And I broke that. Did you know that?
I did. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean to bring that back up.
He had, I guess he like smashed the, did something to the face while he was warming up before the round, and then he had to take the head off and change his driver. So he wasn't used to the new driver. So that's probably why his drives weren't on par, because he's very technical in that way. But the way that he swings and how much force he gets and the way that his clubs are constructed, his second shots, whether they were a bad lie or not, like he was getting out of those.
Yes.
His second shots were unbelievable because
yes.
he has that inertia, I guess, in power and force to get out of those bad shots. And not a lot of golfers have that. And that's why he's so good. Like, if you watch him, like, on a regular round that's not like a Pinehurst course where you'll see, like, 21 unders or 20 unders, like, he's almost driving every single hole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's driving the hole. And nobody else is doing that.
No.
That's why he's always in contention.
Oh, he's a blast to watch.
Yeah.
And to your point about him pumping up the crowd, like, think about that a year ago. Did people even like him? No.
No.
He was a big-time villain. Now they're chanting USA for him. And people have pointed, well, he's taking the Saudi money, and they're chanting USA for him, and Rory wants to... Whatever. I like him. And I like the cut of his jib. And I like that he's jacking people up. By the way, I just looked this up while we were talking. Gregory Bodine. DeChambeau's caddy, the caddy.
What do you make? 3%?
$430,000 bucks.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's pretty doggone good for the caddy there.
That's nice.
As for Shipley, another reason, apart from him being a local kid that I root for him, he kind of just, you know, Bryson DeChambeau is built, right? Like Tiger, even still, we were talking about this on Thursday when we were watching, he is built. You know, Shipley looks like he's your buddy that you're golfing with.
Mm-hmm.
He's just really damn good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a relatability factor there. It's why I always thought that Rowdy Tellez, if he started to hit, people would like him, because Rowdy Tellez looks like a lot of Pittsburghers, just like David Bednar.
Yes.
Not saying that Shipley's portly or anything like that, but he just, you know, just looks like a regular dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Genius, though. Really smart guy. Like, if the golf thing didn't work out, he'd still be out earning the rest of us, because he'd be doing Wall Street or something.
Very
like
successful
that.
Family, too. His parents are very successful. I know his mom. She's very successful. Unbelievable lady. Nicest lady ever. Good for them.
They raised him right.
Yes, they have.
Super humble.
Yes, they have.
Like, I saw Roundtree tweet out that he wanted to get him on for an interview, like 45-minute interview, and that Shipley was, like, apologizing to him. That's kind of what happened when we got him on after the Masters.
Well, that's funny, because that was the same timeline. I was going to tweet Roundtree. He was like, and then, like, you know, right after that, he goes on the Pat McAfee show. I was like, well, actually, he stopped on with us first and then went on the McAfee show, right?
He came on with us first, Jim.
Yeah. I was going to tweet Roundtree, but then I don't want to make him upset.
Yeah, come on, Roundtree. Give us a little credit there.
Yeah.
PM team never got him.
Nope.
We had him.
Mm-hmm.
We're the official Pittsburgh show of Neil Shipley or something. I don't know. Coming up next, our Twitter poll. Are the Pirates at 3 games under .500 closer to being good or bad? Mark Cabali joins us at 9. Dan Zangrilli after that. We're going to get into the Pirates here in a moment, but we still got the, what is this, Golf Channel on right now. And you were telling me about this dude who recreates like the winning shot. And so from the bunker, what, 55 yards out, he recreates DeChambeau's shot where he goes up and down, and he actually got it closer to the hole, right, to the pin than DeChambeau did.
Crazy.
And then DeChambeau, who, again, is now like this fan favorite, he hands him the trophy.
Uh-huh.
And they're all going nuts. What a life that is.
Awesome.
And then you ask me this question. How much you drinking after you win?
Yeah.
You win the U.S. Open. I'm not playing in the next tournament, I'll tell you that much.
There's no chance.
No way.
What for?
Yeah, well,
probably some, like, you know, one-off. It's not like a big major or anything.
Right.
I don't think.
No.
Can't be.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm chilling.
I would have the night of my life, and then you feel it out,
mm-hmm,
and you see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting after it.
Yeah.
I'm having a great time. Family, friends, all the guys who, you know, all the top five finishers probably are hanging out with them. Although, I think Rory went home.
Yeah.
They kept cutting to Rory. Oh, God. He looked
sick.
He looked miserable.
Sick about it.
Who was it who wound up finishing second in the Masters, who they kept cutting to him, and he was just driving. Like, he was stoic, just showing him just on the driving range. He played it cool. Rory did not play it cool at all. Isn't it funny how quickly we forget who finished second in the Masters? I'm sure Kale would know. Hey, Kale, who finished second in the Masters? I'm on it.
Me too.
Who can Google faster? Thanks for the help, Callis. We really appreciate it.
Was it Oberg?
No, because they have... It wasn't the Masters. It was the Open Championship that I'm thinking. You're right. Yeah. He did finish second in the Masters. Whatever. But Rory was not playing it off stoically at all. I mean, he was probably sweating through his shirt. That's how I'd be. I mean, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. There's no way I'd be able to be cool about it.
I mean, especially because you know you basically lost it.
Yeah.
Or you didn't give yourself an opportunity to go to a playoff. That's what it would have been. It would have been a playoff, and then you give yourself another chance, another opportunity, and he gave that away.
That's why, like, I'm caught in between on, did he choke it away, or did DeChambeau win it? I mean, it's little column A and column B. That's just the way that it is.
I'm more of he choked it away.
3-foot putt, man. 3-foot putt. 3 bogeys down the stretch. Yeah. That's big choke job. What are the Pirates going to do down the stretch? Bang, transition. They are 34-37 in our Twitter poll today. Are the Pirates closer to being good than bad? And this shouldn't shock anybody. 53% of the voters say bad. 47% of the voters say good. So split right in between. Mackey said he thinks they're closer to being good. I tend to agree, but relative. Relative to the rest of the National League. I was just looking at the standings this morning, which has become just what we do now. The Pirates are a game out of the wild card. In the National League, the third wild card spot. And there are 9 teams between the Mets and that second wild card spot, the St. Louis Cardinals. 9 teams. The Padres are 37-38. The Cardinals hold the second wild card spot just straight up at 500. You've got the Nationals 1 game under. The Diamondbacks 2 games under. San Francisco 2 games under. The Reds 3 games under, tied with the Pirates. That's why this is such a big series starting tonight with Paul Skeens on the mound. I don't know that any of those teams are good, but compared to those teams, I'll take the Pirates lot. When you got Skeens and when you got Keller, I'm a little bit worried about Jared Jones. But then you've got Holderman, who's been great. You've got Bednar, who's come back on. And you've got Chapman, who seems to have figured it out. Those are two things that are the envy of other clubs. When mm-hmm. you've got that 3 in your rotation and that 3 in the back of the bullpen, it's a pretty good place to start when you're comparing these teams, I think.
I can't, like, if I say that they're closer to being good, that's not saying much. And if I say they're closer to being bad, that's not saying much. Just right off of what you just laid out there because of everybody else. Like, everybody else is close to being good or close to being bad. So, like, I don't know. I really don't. Like, I don't know what this team is. All I do know is they have 3 good starting pitchers.
Yes.
That's really what I know. And they have a young, you know, some young players that could be decent. They have, you know, a couple guys that they paid that, and they have McCutcheon. Like, I don't.
They have serious warts, no doubt about it, but so does every other team there. And now the Mets are, what, 2 games out of a wild card spot? That team's not good. It was DeChambeau who was staying loose on the driving range at the PGA Championship.
Okay.
It was DeChambeau. Brain doesn't quite work after Father's Day weekend. Isn't that funny? So DeChambeau is on the driving range. Just
who won it?
Focused.
Shoffley?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of remember that now. It's coming back to me.
Yeah. How nuts is that? So he's like cool as a cucumber, and then you've got Rory who looked like he's taking the SATs. He's like freaking out.
And Rory's been there before.
Right.
That's the thing.
This one meant so much to him, you could tell, based on everything going on in his life. And then he's right there and blows it. Your thoughts on whether or not the Pirates are closer to being good or bad at 412-928-9370. And something that Mackie said that I agree with a part of it and disagree with another part of it. We'll tell you what that is when we come back. Mark Caboli at 9. We've got Dan Zangrilli for two segments starting at 9:20. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We got Mark Caboli coming on with us at 9 o'clock. Cam Hayward said he's playing in 2025, whether he's a Steeler or not. And then he mentioned Cleveland. Mark was right there. Mark wrote about it. How do we take that? Mark will tell us. Coming up, like I said, in 10 minutes. Real quick before, you had one more golf thing you wanted to bring up. So Mackie says he thinks the Pirates are closer to being good than bad. We agree, though, there's a whole lot of going on in the National League right now. But one thing Mackie said that I don't necessarily agree with, he said they keep making all these fundamental problems and they should be easy to correct. Well, if they were easy to correct, they'd be corrected already. Like, you're a big chunk of the way through the season now. I was trying to do fast math. I decided to punt on that. I think it was obvious to everyone. You're a huge chunk of the way through the season
game.
Now. Yeah, so you're approaching halfway. And you get drop pop-ups, base running mistakes. There was that extra inning game not that long ago. Triolo got thrown out at third. O'Neill Cruz got picked off at first. You had the Yasmani Grandal just unforgivable mistake the other day with the stealing of home. You had the first and third play that went terribly awry where Nick Gonzalez got thrown out. They do this kind of stuff with regularity. I think that's just who they are. The hope needs to be that now that the back end of the bullpen has started to figure it out and your rotation is what it is, that you win in spite of those things. Because I don't think those kinds of problems, because it seems to affect everybody on the roster, I blame the manager for it. Like, I don't think it's going away.
I was just about to say, I mean, that just points right to the manager. Whenever you have a team, and say you have a football team that has a lot of penalties, that, you know, just, you know, shoots himself in the foot a lot, that's usually a reflection of the coaches.
We'd be calling Tomlin out if they were a highly penalized team.
Yep.
For sure. And then he'd do the press conference, say, we brought officials to practice. We do that every single year.
Then we had Shelton, you just played the audio, about an hour ago, of saying, kind of brushing off the whole Grandal thing. Like,
when you don't treat mistakes like that as a big deal, then they're going to get repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not that specific mistake where you lollipop the throwback to the pitcher and a Rocky steals home. But if that kind of mistake is allowed to fly, other mistakes are going to be allowed to fly as well. You brought it up during the break, man. The next U.S. Open will be right here. It'll be at Oakmont. Neil Shipley the winner? Could you imagine?
Oh, my goodness. We were talking a little bit, too. Like, I mean, how many times has he probably played Oakmont? I mean, probably more than most people in the field that he'll be playing against.
We asked him what his favorite course was when we talked to him, and he did not say Oakmont. But that doesn't mean he hasn't played it a lot.
I feel like he belongs in Neville Wood, I believe.
I think so, yeah. Which is a nice course. Isn't that where Pompiani held his golf outing?
No, Chartiers.
Chartiers.
Neville Wood is great, though.
It is nice.
Yes.
I drive past it all the time.
There's a lot of great courses like in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Like right here. They're very convenient. If you know somebody that is a member, you should go experience. They're hard, but like they're fantastic. Fantastic.
Think about, because you brought this up off air too, you got the U.S. Open 2025, and then you got the NFL Draft in 2026.
Pittsburgh's going to be popping.
We got to show out, Pittsburgh.
Yes, we do.
We got to put on our best behavior and wear our Sunday best, man.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
Did you see Bechtold tweeted out the other day that he was going to the beach and he was going to wear all Pirate gear? All Pittsburgh gear?
No, but that's on par for Pittsburgh people.
Like, does anybody else do this?
Yes.
Yeah, Becky, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
You go to the airport and you know, like, you go to the airport to travel somewhere and people are wearing their old scuffed up Heinz Ward jerseys. Like, I'm like, okay, like,
half the eight is faded off.
Yeah.
And the Steelers emblem's like peeling off the shoulder. Yeah. Does anybody else do this? Yeah, Becky.
Yeah.
Everybody does. Pittsburgh
people.
You're
not creating something here, Becky.
No. No, you're just part of it. You're falling in line with the way Pittsburghers do things. So maybe those weekends we bust out our polos and our nice slacks, maybe some chinos, put on our Sunday best. What are you more excited about? For me, it's easy.
Out of the two events?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the Open.
Absolutely.
Yeah, way more.
Not even close. I think the draft being here will be cool, but if I never attended an NFL draft, I think I'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean,
did you go to Oakmont last time?
No,
me neither.
We have to go. Have to figure out a way to get. I hope we do some shows or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that'd be appropriate.
If not, I'm paying my way. No, I got it. No, I'm not. Want to lend me some money? Can you get us in? I mean, Molsey played it not that long ago. Maybe he or Bostic or Neil Walker could get us in.
Neil probably could.
Yeah, you're right. I ain't paying. But I do want to go, and I want a hat. All right, coming up next, Mark Cavalli is going to join us. Cam Hayward said he's playing in 2025, whether it's here or someplace else, and then he brought up Cleveland. Did he really mean it? Mark was right there. We talked to him about that, among other things, when we come back. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com today. High 95.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.